the heights they've risen to in at different times. Adversity introduces a man to himself. It's these difficulties that make people. Mm-hmm. It's a difficulties that build people. And I just, I can give you story after story on this type of thing. I saw it so clearly. I was in Germany. I was ordering at Baden-Baden, at Benish Park Hotel, ordering a dinner. Beautiful hotel. Beautiful. Couldn't speak German, so this man said, "I'll help you. I'll help you order." And he did. About half an hour later, you know, and I'm not impressed with rank, and generals and admirals don't impress me very much, but they do head waiters and porters. And the head waiter came up and he said, "Admiral, your table is ready." And this man picked up his ears. And I said, "I was in the Navy during the war." I said, "What were you in?" "Submarines." "Where were you stationed?" "Norway." I said, "Were you never out on the attack the Russian convoys?" "Yes." He said, "I was out on the Scharnhorst." "Well, I was on the trip the Scharnhorst was sunk in." Mm-hmm. "I was on that Russian convoy, and he was out trying to get me on that trip." Mm-hmm. We were both sides. There was a rapport between that man and myself. After dinner, we went to the casino together, and the next night we went, the next day we...
All right, we're back. The tape ended on us, and you had just told me a story about how you met this German naval officer who...
Yeah, but I was ordering dinner. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Can I help you? Is that what you want?" Yeah. And then the head waiter came in and said, "Admiral, your table is ready." Mm-hmm. And I say, "Admirals and generals don't impress me, but that does do, it does head waiters." And I looked at this man, looked up, and said, "I was in the Navy." Mm-hmm. And then we found that he had been out to attack me when I was on the Russian convoy on the very trip that we sank the Scharnhorst in. And that man became a friend of mine, mm-hmm. just like that.
And there was no point of...
No, nothing. We were friends right away.
Yeah.
We were even talking confidentially what the future with Russia would be, and what the future... We were speaking...
There's no antagonism between...
No,
you
absolutely not. No.
You're two professionals doing a job, and you had a common shared experience.
Yes. Yes. The respect I had for this man is much greater than the respect I had for your prime minister in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Have you read some of the things that he did during the war in Quebec?
Yes.
Examples of dressing up in a German uniform and driving on a motorbike down the street.
I won't get me onto that man. I'll blow a fuse. But, you know, he's a low form of... What is education? To the degree... This man, you call him educated. He's academically... But mm-hmm. he's had no experience. But I won't get onto that.
He was born rich. He never really had to work for anything or worry about money.
No. Now, a point I want to make to you here, you were talking about the end of the war. You asked me to... Any little thing that's very close to mind. What is this? In 1939, the king presented his naval color in Victoria. For the first time, His Majesty had ever presented his naval color outside the British Isles.
This was in 39, right?
39. Mm-hmm. May the 31st, 39, the first time. And I was honored to receive the color from the king at that time. Mm-hmm. Now that, to me, that's the spirit of the services. The whole command got together. They worked and they trained like mad mm-hmm. for this. And it was a tremendous feeling. I used to stand at the bottom of the bed with holding my sword so I could learn to stand for an hour without moving your finger. My wife would say, "You know, I think your left arm moved then. I think you moved your right toe." But these sort of things, you know, and we had a tremendous ceremony in receiving the color mm-hmm. for His Majesty in May 1939. Now, that spirit took us into the war. We went into the war. We had the grateful government had given not a goddamn thing to fight with. Mm-hmm. We had nothing, literally nothing to fight with. Mm-hmm. And into the war we went in that spirit. And it was a pride of service, and off we went. And I remember sending to the UK in May 40, and we were in the battle, and couldn't even have I was firing armor-piercing shells at airplanes just to say I was letting something go, because I had nothing that would blow up an airplane. Mm-hmm. In the North Sea at that time, when I was working in the different parts. You know, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But I'd always hoped, now that I'm 75 years old, that I would do something to see that my grandchildren were not put in the same position I was in defending themselves. You cannot negotiate unless you negotiate through strength. I don't want war. I've told you 2/3 of my term were killed. I'm not advocating war. I'm advocating nature abhors weakness, and we've got to have negotiate through strength.
Okay, what do you mean by strength?
I mean economic, political, and military. Economic, political, moral.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we build up a nation of people
mm-hmm.
that are prepared just to make some sacrifice for this country.
People, you know, I had a discussion with a young girl my age, university educated, graduate actually. She said she'd rather die for peace than live for war. She said live for war meaning having nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, people are not thinking clearly.
No. They these are just statements. We want to prevent war.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as important to prevent a war as to win it should it come.
Mm-hmm.
And the means are the same.
So you can go to the extremes, like Britain Britain, France, and America between the wars were isolationist, or else they wanted to keep away from such things, entanglements.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one way to avoid war, but then you're leading up to a future war.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like Hitler's rise to power was because the other people didn't want to tackle him.
Look at how Russia is talking for the first time now. The United States is getting strong and putting some teeth into their system.
Mm-hmm.
Russia is prepared to give a little more thought to negotiating. We're a nation of very, very, very. I hope we accept some responsibility to make this system we call democracy work.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we put some teeth into it, because we're going to have we have a problem right now, and it's right with us now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to say that I'm absolutely shocked at some of the people in education. I'm really disheartened to see. Now, I never thought this happened in my family. My two grandsons, one granddaughter and one grandson, were asked at school how they would vote.
Really?
I told the minister, but I didn't dare give the name of the teacher.
They're high school students?
No.
University students?
No. Down one age 13. One age...
I mean, if they would vote, how would they vote?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One age 12 and one age 8. But, you know, it's a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, education has changed to quite an extent.
Yeah.
When you... It's changed in the 8 years since I graduated, or the 6 years since I graduated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the influx of different types into the system. Example, they had a conference about a month ago in Vancouver, the educationalists in BC, teachers I should say. They drew up a memorandum against nuclear weapons, and this is kind of a big issue right now. And it was dead set against nuclear weapons. And one fellow stood up and said, well, I have some problems with this. Don't you think that if we disarm, that we're actually working into the Russian hands? And the fellow on the podium looked at him and said, we don't want any waffling on this issue, so you either agree with us or you don't. I mean, there's no freedom of thought.
I can't believe anybody who thinks he's educated could talk like that. Now, this really hits me. I have just been so disturbed at this. Now, some of the greatest people I know,
mm-hmm.
a man I became a friend with, is George Kennan. He mm-hmm. wrote he was the advocator of the containment policy.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the paper under Mr. X. You may know who I talk about. He was ambassador to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
He was with me at the National War College in Washington.
Mm-hmm. A brilliant man.
He was a brilliant man and a friend. And he is writing against he wants to freeze all nuclear weapons now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's contrary to what the president said. As I said, we're having a lunch on this next Friday with the governor. Five of us having a lunch at the Union Club on this very question. And I wrote to the governor in getting the papers on this, some few papers together. And when man realizes his limitations, he's exceeded them.
Mm-hmm.
I know my limitations, that I cannot give an answer to these things. There's no answer to these things. The bigger thing, to have a man stand up, as you just said, and say you must be yes or no,
mm-hmm. He's or so, you must follow our line or else you can't speak at all. We don't want you to talk.
He's wet behind the ears. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sad. You wonder why I...
get upset about
I'm on the rolls of convocation of your university. Honorary, I guess. But I get so mad at these things.
Mm-hmm.
Surely, education is a degree of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
These are immature people. I don't consider Trudeau's educated, in my thinking of them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, I don't know why I bring that little bastard in, but these are, it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad that we can't get on. Well, I think, have we had enough of this today? Or
any
other questions?
No, I think we've done quite a bit. We've covered an awful lot of area. Thanks very much, sir.